We will read again, please, in the book of Exodus as we continue to our studies and talks on the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 26. I was thinking when we were singing this hymn, we just sung, my mind went back over 40 years ago. We were holding meetings in a country place in Oregon. The lady attended those meetings who had never heard the gospel before. She was a very religious lady. She walked 2 miles over the country road and back each night. She began to get concerned about the salvation of her soul. We learned afterwards that her problem was, she said, I know that Christ died on the cross, Calvary, but how do I know that he died for me? One night, at the close of the meeting, I gave out the hymn that we have just sung. The chorus, I seek no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And the hymn book we're using then read, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Mrs. Anderson left the meeting that night under deep conviction of sin. The next morning, I said to my father-in-law, with whom I was preaching, I said, let us go and see Mrs. Anderson. I think she's in trouble of soul. We went to her home, very humble home, only a back door entrance, half glass and no curtains on it. I went to knock at the door, and I stepped back. I said to my father-in-law, look at the sight. Mrs. Anderson was kneading the dough of her bread to put in the oven. Her Bible was propped up against the wall in the kitchen, and tears were rolling down her cheeks. I said to my father-in-law, we've come just at the right time. We knocked at the door. Well, I said to Mrs. Anderson, how is it with you? She smiled through her tears. She said, I have been trying to get satisfaction in my soul that Jesus died for me on the cross. That hymn you gave out last night impressed me. And when I walked home a mile and a half over the dark country road, every time I took a step, it seemed to say, I seek no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I'm saved. I'd like to hear such news as that tonight. Now we'll read, please, Exodus chapter 26. Now, for those of you who are not acquainted with your Bible, likely you're going to get lost in this detail. But don't get discouraged. I shall illustrate to you when we finish reading in detail that which we have been reading. There's a great deal of detail. The reason for that is the last verse of chapter 25 reads like this. And look, that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. God is very particular. Now just listen to the detail of the verses we will read here in chapter 26. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have 1 measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to the other, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage in the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of the other curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 catches, or clasps. Catches or clasps. Thou shalt make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the catches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering over the tabernacle, 11 curtains, not 10 this time, 11 curtains shalt thou make. And the length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, not 28 cubits as in the former, 30 cubits. And the breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle, hanging down over the front. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches or clasps, not of gold this time, of brass, and put the tatches or clasps into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the back side of the tabernacle. And a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth, and the length of the curtains, I'll explain this later. It's difficult to follow it if you're not acquainted with your Bibles. And a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth, and the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle, on this side and on that side, to cover it. Remember that, to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering up for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins. Now turn over, please, to chapter 36, and we will read the carrying out of these instructions, and perhaps you'll get a little better idea of what it's all about. Chapter 36 of Exodus, and reading at verse 1. No, chapter 36, reading at verse 8, pardon me. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size. And he coupled the 5 curtains one unto another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the selvage in the coupling. Likewise he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain, which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. And he made 50 tatches or clasps of gold, and coupled the curtains one to another with the tatches, so it became one tabernacle. And he made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle, that is, over these curtains. 11 curtains made he them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain. The 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain in the coupling, and 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain which coupled the second. And he made 50 tatches or clasps of brass to couple the tent together that it might be one. And he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. Now that is all we will read for the present. Now I will briefly show you what we've been reading about, and then try and give a sense of it. The Lord instructed Moses, we're going to speak tonight, for the covering of the roof of the tabernacle. We've been occupied with the curtains round about, and the gate, the entrance in, and the brazen altar, speaking of Christ crucified, and the laver. And this afternoon, at noon hour, we were speaking on the building itself, the boards, and its silver foundation of 5 tons of silver. Now we come to speak on the roof. Very important. Moses was instructed to have the people make 10 curtains of fine twined linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. Each one was to be 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. There were to be loops, blue loops, on each edge. And then they were instructed
fasten five of them together, as you see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of them together, with these blue loops. On the edge of one of them, there were the 50 loops of blue. Now 5 and to make together, and then 5 more together. 5 more were to be fastened together, and on the edge there were to be 50 blue clasps, and they fastened onto these blue loops. Now these were hung over the tabernacle in that fashion, hanging right down the side. I might say, sorry to say, that the chart is not correct. They did not lay out like this. There were no cords along here, such as you see. These are not perfect pictures. These curtains hung down tight against these golden covered boards that we spoke about this afternoon. They hung snugly together, covering these golden boards. So that one curtain was to be hung over in that fashion. The other 5 we hung over in that fashion, right over the side, and they'll be fastened together with these golden hooks. Under these hooks, there hung this veil that I hope to speak on later in the week. Then he was, and these were 28 cubits long. I'm not sure what an even, though I see that I have it. Now they didn't reach right down to the bottom. This curtain must not touch the ground. It speaks of the exalted glories of our Lord Jesus Christ now in heaven. Then Moses was instructed, now this is just a piece of flannelette. I am not sure. There's goat's hair. Some of the goats were white and some were black, so we've got green flannelette. Now he was to make 11 curtains this time. 6 fastened together and 5 fastened together. Now 5 and then 6. And these were to be 30 cubits long. And we read that when that was put on, it completely covered that which the other curtain didn't cover completely. But there was an extra one. And that one was to hang down next to the curtain, to hang down over the front, fold it back in that fashion. Then on top of that, with no measurements whatever, there was to be a covering of lambskin dyed red. Now I'm very sorry to say, I won't go into details, this once was big enough to cover the whole thing. Now it's in rather reduced circumstances. However, that was thrown over, completely covering the tabernacle. Then on top of that, a most remarkable covering, and this is a genuine article, of badger skin. There are 8 of them here. Very heavy and very, very tough. We read only of badger skin in one other place in the scriptures. God said, I shod you with badger skin. It's a very, very tough material and very heavy, and that was to be placed, the outside covering, completely covering everything, with the exception of this that was to hang down over the front. Now, I'm not taking time to make it very neat, but there was a complete covering. Now, that, friends, is what I want to speak about tonight. I wish to address myself, particularly to those in the meeting who are not saved. We have in this covering, this fourfold covering, this most remarkable roof, a fourfold picture in type of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I marvel, as I've said already, in looking at the tabernacle and its furniture, I marvel at the way every whit of it utters the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. One has well written, within the tabernacle door, my soul, what dost thou see? 'Tis Jesus, Jesus everywhere reveals himself to me. Now, I shall try and bring before you tonight the meaning of these four coverings. In this badger skin, we have sanctification. In this lambskin dyed red, we have consecration. In this goat hair covering, we have expiation. And in the curtains that we put on first, we have exaltation. These first two coverings typify our Lord Jesus Christ as a man here on earth. The third one typifies our Lord Jesus as he hung upon the cross. The underneath one typifies our Lord Jesus Christ as he sits at God's right hand in heaven. Now God began with begins with the inside, and he comes out to us. We're going to begin at the outside, and we're going to go in towards God. Now, isn't that a homely looking building? Here's a building 45 feet long, 15 feet high, 15 feet wide, completely covered, with the exception of the entrance, completely covered with a badger skin. These are specimen skins. Here's one that's a sort of a silvery gray. These badgers once ran on the roamed the prairies of Manitoba and Canada. Here are two that are a brownish color. Here we have one that's a mixture. They're real specimens of badger skin. Now you just think of the Moabite, or the Amorite, or the Hittite, or any of the heathen of that day, walking along those hills, and he looks down upon the Sinai Desert. He sees 3 million people encamped in a proper, orderly fashion. He sees an enclosure about 75 feet wide and 150 feet long. He sees on the end of that enclosure this strange-looking thing. He wonders what it is. Now that is exactly what is typified in this badger skin. It's a most remarkable thing to me. I'm amazed as I study this subject. The Authorized Version says badger skin. Another version says wolf skin. Another translation gives seal skin. Another one gives porpoise skin. That's a remarkable thing. But what does it tell me? When our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They didn't know. They didn't know. That's what we have in this badger skin. Some say he's John the Baptist. Some say he's Elias. Some say he's one of the prophets. And the writer has said he's the man that nobody knows. That's all the world sees today in the Lord Jesus. Just a man. And it's a rather, there's nothing attractive about that. It's a very phony looking thing. He's not that what the prophet Isaiah tells us. He's despised and rejected of men. There's no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's just like a root out of a dry ground. Nothing to him at all. He means little. I sometimes ask people, what does Christ mean to you? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. In my native city, I only lived there the first 6 weeks of my life, and my parents went back to their native Scotland. But I was born in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. On my second visit to Philadelphia, years after I left as an infant, I was amazed. I was shocked. That city is called the city of brotherly love. I saw in clear letters in a public place, "God is obsolete. Christ is an absurdity." Ah, dear friends, nothing of the kind. There's all the Moabite saw. He just saw badger skin. That's about all men see today. No beauty that you desire them. Nothing to them at all. John the Baptist saw more than that. He saw the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Peter saw more than that. He saw the one who bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Nathaniel saw more than that. "Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." I want to ask you, friend, tonight, what do you see in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you only see badger skin? Do you just see a man? True, he was a man. No attraction, no beauty. This model was shipped from my home in Vancouver at the end of April. It hasn't been back since. I shipped it to Boston and set it up in East Boston Hall, Gospel Hall, in May. I was pleased to see, through the influence of a young couple known to some here, known quite well to some here, each night they brought three sailors, three men, off a ship that was docked in Boston. These men came to the meetings throughout the 2 weeks that I was there. One of them was a real child of God, and he enjoyed the ministry.
Another wasn't a bit interested in things at all. Another one was not saved, but he came every night. I shall never forget my Sunday night came just as tonight. He sat well up. He had heard me speak on these things. He'd heard me speak about the gate, the way of salvation. He'd heard me speak about the brazen altar, Christ crucified on the cross. That's the type. He sat and listened to all that I had to say. And going out of the door, he said to me, "I got saved tonight." I said, "Tell me, how did you get saved?" He said, "When I came to these meetings and listened to you, all I saw was majesty. Saw nothing else." But he says, "I saw more tonight." I said, "What did you see?" He said, "You looked at that badger skin and you began to speak about the ram skin diet. I saw the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus." But before I come to that, I want to say something more. This badger skin, unattractive as it was, and as I say, man today is the only badger skin. They don't know who he was. And the translators say some call it badger skin, some say seal skin, some say pork white skin, some say wolf skin. So it was in the Lord Jesus. Don't know who he was, don't know anything about him. But it's more than that. This badger skin, completely covering what today would run into hundreds of thousands of dollars, it completely covered a mine of wealth. I can't get into it, but in here, that which represents a golden lampstand, that the price of gold today would be worth over $100,000. A golden covered table, there's a wealth in under there, golden covered boards. The winds would blow. The sand would fly, the storms would rage. They would beat against that badger skin. Nothing underneath was harmed one bit. Tells me, friends, fiery darts are fired at the Lord Jesus. But unmoved by Satan's subtle wiles, all the attacks against the Lord Jesus down through the years have been futile. He stands today as the Savior of sinners. That badger skin, it was soon at all. What do you see in Christ? Do you only see badger skin? I want to say something to you before I go any further. The tabernacle has a wonderful roof, but it has no floor. No floor. Now that's a remarkable thing. We only read once about the floor of the tabernacle. It's the dust of the ground. Is there any lady who would put $100,000 piece of furniture on the bare earth? No. But there's no floor in the tabernacle. Now, why was there no floor in the tabernacle? Because the psalmist says in Psalm 29 and verse 9, and read the marginal reading, every foot of it utters the glory of the Lord Jesus. That's why there's no floor. If there had been a floor, and every foot of it speaks of Christ, then Christ would be trodden underfoot, wouldn't he? Now, for you have heard the gospel often, I want to say something to you. Turn to the Epistle to Hebrews, please, chapter 10. This is most solemn. I hope to speak to you tonight. Hebrews chapter 10. And reading verse 28. Just listen to this. You have heard the gospel again and again, particularly. Hebrews 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much store of punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Thought worthy, who hath trodden under, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be counted worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing,
and hast done despite unto the Spirit of grace. God won't have that. No floor! No floor! Everything in this tabernacle speaks of the Lord Jesus. No floor! Otherwise, if so, be treading underfoot the Son of God. I want to say to your friend tonight, if you have ever heard the gospel before, and you have not accepted it, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you are treading underfoot the Son of God. You are doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. He that did that in Moses' day was stoned to death. Of how much shorter punishment will be yours? It'll be a solemn thing, dear friend, if you go out of this hall tonight after the reading of the Word of God and after what I have to say and will yet have said and will yet have to say, it'll be a solemn thing for you. You'll be actually, if not in word, indeed, you are treading underfoot the Son of God. No floor in the tabernacle. No one must tread underfoot that which speaks of Christ. That's what you will do if you go out of here unsaved. I ask you before I go further, do you only see vanity? Do you only see a man? No beauty that you desire. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A root out of a dry ground. Is that all you see? Is Christ an absurdity to you? God have mercy on your soul, friends. There's the outward covering. But nevertheless, all the atheist taunts and all that's been said in the atheist's remarks again and writings against Christ, the badger skin withstands it all. These golden cords are not one bit harmed. The furniture in there is not touched one bit, and the tabernacle stands in spite of all the storms of man. So much for the badger skin. We lift it. I was telling the other night, I could almost write a book on experiences I've had taking this model back and forth. I don't know how many times, perhaps 50 times back and forth this model has gone across the international boundary between Canada and the United States, and of course I have to declare it. My customs men look at it, and they scratch their heads. And what's this anyway? And sometimes when I want to get my Bible, they don't want to hear about it. I want to tell them about it. They don't want it. But I was telling them the other night, a number of years ago, I crossed from Port Stewart in Michigan to Sarnia. I was taking it the other way. I had it up in the United States, and I was going to Sarnia. Nice young customs officer came out, fine-looking young man. Very courteous. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Have you anything besides your personal effects, anything to declare? I said, I have, sir. What have you got? I said, I have a model of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, he said. You mean Israel's tabernacle in the wilderness? Yes, sir. He said, may I see it? I said, certainly. And I looked at the lid of the box that's in here, contains it, and this is the last thing that I put. I have a place to order and packing it. Badger skin, he said. The badger skin. I said, yes, sir, that's the badger skin. And I was going to speak to him about the badger skin. He says, may I look underneath? I said, yes. Ah, he said, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. I said, that's right. Where are you going to preach? I said, in the gospel hall at the corner of College and Davis Street in Sarnia. God bless you, sir. And I hope when you're preaching, somebody will get saved when you're preaching about the ram's skin dyed red. I said, thank you very much. I go back to my friend in Boston. He said, when I came to these meetings, all I saw was badger skin. He said, you give us interesting talks. I didn't see anything. It was nothing to me. But I kept coming. Now he said, I've come tonight. I got saved tonight. He said, first I only saw badger skin. But he says, tonight I saw the ram skin dyed red. What did he mean by that? Well, the ram in the scriptures is a consecrated animal. It's called the ram of consecration. When the priests were consecrated, the blood of the ram was put on their ear. The ram speaks of strength and power. Most beautiful animal, a ram, got very remarkable horns. Used to have one in the old Dodge cars, the insignia right up in the front. I used to look at it, and there was the mountain ram, tremendous horns, fine-looking animal. It speaks of strength. We are first introduced to the ram
in Exodus chapter 22, that's what I would call the first Calvary chapter in the Bible. Exodus chapter 22 is the account of Abraham taking his son Isaac at God's command up to Mount Moriah, and there he was to build an altar, and he was to offer his son Isaac on that altar. And Isaac was laid on the altar. They had the fire in the wood, and Abraham was about to, well, he did lift his knife, and he's about to plunge it into the heart of his son Isaac, when he heard a voice, "Lay not thy hand upon thy son." Abraham turned around, and he saw a ram caught by its thorns in the thicket. Isaac is taken off the altar. The ram is bound to the altar, and the ram is offered up in the place of Isaac. What do we learn from that? Substitution. Substitution. My friend said to me, "I saw for the first time tonight, I saw substitution. You told about Abraham, about his slave son. You told about a ram provided, and Isaac is taken off the altar. The ram is put in Isaac's place, and the ram is offered up." He said, "Then you turned and you read to us from Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace is upon him, by stripes we are healed." He said, "I saw it. I saw it." And he smiled. "I see more than badger skin now. I see the Son of God came down from heaven, who died on the cross of Calvary for me." Do you see that tonight, friend? That'll be a revelation to your soul. Far more than just badger skin. The Lamb's died red. A consecrated life, friends. A consecrated life on the part of the Lord Jesus would never do anything for you and me. He'd only condemn me. He did not come here to show us how to live. He came here to die. That ram's skin must be dyed red. A customs officer, when I was crossing south of Port Arthur, Ontario, some time ago, customs officer, "I know what I'm getting over here. I want to know all about this business. I want to know what you got in that box." So I said, "Well, this was a lamb, to be honest with you. And it was raised in the summer of Michigan. And a friend of mine with whom I stayed, he was going to slay the lamb. And he slew the lamb. Well," he said, "I'm going to try my hand at taxidermist work." He fixed it up and he says, "Why red? Was it red?" "No," I said, "it was white." "Well," he says, "why have you got it red?" Well, I said, "Sir, in few words," I said, "the life of Christ could never do anything for you and me. It must have died red. His precious blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. God says to Moses, dye that ram skin red, the consecrated animal, the one who gave his life for man here on earth. But he went to the cross and his blood was shed." I ask you tonight, do you see more than badger skin? But I ask you another question. Do you see anything in the blood of Christ? Over 40 years ago, we pitched a tent in Salt Lake City, right in the Mormon headquarters. The first night we had a large company. I did not know that the Mormons hate the blood of Christ. Now, I'd rather leave sex names off the platform. I did not know that. I preached from those words, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Next night, we had 7 people in the tent. They were told about 285 or 300 people. What was wrong? They hated the blood. Oh, they hate the blood. And the home in which I was staying, my fellow laborer rented a beautiful home on the street corner of 5th East, 5th South, and South 19th East. And he got 2 texts and then another painted, same size on canvas. One of the texts read like this in large letters, about 3 feet wide and about 8 feet high: "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." The next one was, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." Then around the corner, outside the big white porch opposite my bedroom window, and at that time the temperatures were about 95 in the daytime and 75 at night, and my windows were wide open, and they come round the corner, they read, "Without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." They come round the corner on the same size, painted on white canvas. "What is the blood of Christ to you?" The big question mark. Friends, the remarks I heard.
"Nothing!" And they shout aloud at 10 o'clock at night, "It's nothing to me. I'd hear them stamp their feet. I hate the blood of Christ. God have mercy on them." My dear friends, I emphasize tonight to you, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. The lambskin must be dyed red. Must be dyed red. That is skin. It's the only a man. John the Baptist saw this. "Behold, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world." We fold that back. What do we got? Goat's hair. The goat's hair curtain. The goat was the most highly respected of all domestic animals in Israel's day. It was, had an intelligent head and a fine beard, not the billy goat that we see today, a most intelligent animal, symmetric horns, and it stood in all its dignity, was highly respected. In the Word of God, the goat was a sin offering. It was always a goat that was offered for sin. In the Great Day of Atonement chapter 16 of Leviticus, over 12 times read of the goat. What does this tell us? The best of sin is sanctification. Man set apart for God on the earth. The ram skin dyed red, consecration. But in the goat, expiation. Peter saw that, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. There we have God before us. That which our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross, the one who knew no sin, was made sin for us, for our sins. That's what we see in the goat's hair. I try to emphasize when I read, I believe this was the largest curtain of them all. I know that these fully covered everything, but this more than covered everything. It covered the cubit that remained on each side, but there's an extra curtain, an extra one, down over the front here. It more than covered. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, covers everything, friends. His death covers all. It meets all our needs. It covers everything over. Nothing left for the sinner to do. Moses, this must cover all. Comes right down to the ground. The other one didn't. This comes all the way down. And then Moses pulled it over in the front. If that had been put on properly, as they did, there's all that sees inside the magic skin. There's all that sees. What does that tell us? God would ever remind his guilty creature, man, of the death of Christ on the cross. And brethren, sisters, when we enter the house of God, so to speak, just as the priest entered here, there's what he saw. I believe that when we enter the gospel hall, whether it's on Lord's Day morning as we did this morning, whether it's in the Bible reading or prayer meeting or ministry meeting or gospel meeting, the death of Christ stands out. That's the greatest event of all time and eternity. The Son of God, God's eternal Son, dying on the cross of Calvary. Oh, what a story's unfolded, I must leave it. What a story's unfolded in the goat's hair. My friend said to me, "I like that man, I hope I'll meet him again. One of the brightest converts that I have seen for a while." I said, "I only saw badger skin. When you lifted that curtain, that covering, I saw the one who took my place on the cross of Calvary. Substitution, the ram offered up in the place of Isaac." Said, "When you began to speak about the goat's hair,
Oh, he said, that got a hold of me. To think of the Son of God from heaven, sinless, spotless Son of God, bearing my sins on the cross. I tell you, the clear conversion. Came back to me the next night. The first time I've known a 24-hour convert to teach me. Try to teach me. It was all right. They said, I was reading my Bible on board ship today while I was off duty. And I read in the 4th chapter of John. He said, did you ever read there? I said, yes. I didn't tell him I preached on it hundreds of times. Well, you know, we read there about a woman. And she came along, and the Lord was sitting on the well. And you know, when that woman came along, all she saw was majesty. But he said, you know, before the Lord Jesus got through with her, she saw the ram's skin dyed red. The Savior of the world. If you think of that, I just think that's fine. He thought he was showing me something. God bless him. He began to read his Bible right away. There's what he saw. But I lifted. I lifted. Then language fails me. Fine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. You've got to get in here before you'll see that. Now look, this gate is the way of salvation. This is blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. This door that I'm going to speak on tomorrow night is blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. But this is fine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. Why? Work is all finished now. Blue tells you the Son of God that came down from heaven. Scarlet, the one who's a worm and no man. I've gone into that each night with the Lord's people here. I need to go into it tonight. And purple, the King of the Jews. He's back in heaven now. And the psalmist goes in and says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and yet to look up to see it. Friends, I'm over 55 years on the way to heaven. I'm only beginning to enter into the beauties of the Lord. The one that's despised and rejected of men, just that's your skin. The one who is consecrated to the Father's will, whose blood was shed on the cross. The one who bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He's exalted. He's seated at God's right hand in heaven. And oh, that I might tonight, but I'll not take the time to go into the beauty of this. And he looks up and he sees it. If you don't trust him as your Savior, you're going to meet him again. Now before I close, I want to go a little further. Turn please to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 53. And reading at verse 1. Man could not have written the Bible if he would. And he wouldn't have written the Bible if he could, because it doesn't say anything good about him. I look on, I read with amazement the Holy Scriptures. I behold with wonder. Just notice this, please. Isaiah chapter 53 and reading at verse 1. Who has believed our report? I hope you will tonight. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The badger skin. There's the badger skin, just as clear and plain as anyone could write it. No beauty, a root out of a dry ground, no form or comeliness, no beauty at all that we should desire him, despised and rejected of men, just badger skin, and that's all. No, but read on, please. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, the consecrated one. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The ramskin dyed red. The lamb led to slaughter. Wounded. Opened not his mouth. The consecrated one. This is remarkable. Verse 9, please. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. An offering for sin. Why, there's the goat's hair, the sin offering. Don't cast any doubt on this book. Man couldn't have written this book if he could. Do you not see how clear and plain it is? Down, please, now to verse 11 as I close. He, the Lord Jesus, shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. The fine linen curtain, exalted, glorified at God's right hand in heaven. I leave it with you, friends. What are you going to do with Jesus? Do you see only badger skin? God have mercy on your soul. Do you set no value on the blood of Christ? He that despised Moses' law did die without mercy. Are you going to despise the Son of God? No floor here. Are you going to tread underfoot the Son of God? Look to Calvary and see there the one who died on the cross of Calvary, who bore the sins of a guilty world, trusted as your Savior, and the day is coming when you with us will look up and will see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in glory. May the Lord bless his word, and shall we pray.
Our God and our Father, we thank thee yet again for these remarkable types in the tabernacle of old. Little wonder the psalmist exclaimed, every whit of it utters its glory. We behold the coverings tonight, the badger skin, the color of the desert sand. No beauty, no attraction. The passerby would look on it, and it would be nothing to them. But oh, what a wealth of truth and doctrine underneath. We thank thee for that which we have seen tonight in the ram dyed red, the one who was consecrated to God in his life, and laid down shed his precious blood on the cross. The ram's skin is dyed red. And then the goat's hair, the one who is made sin for us, not a sin offering, but actually made sin for us. Our sins, we sing, were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. So we see the sanctified one in the badger skin. We see the consecrated one in the ram's skin. But we see expiation in the goat's hair. And then we see exaltation, glorified. God raised him from the dead and exalted him at his own right hand in heaven. We, thy people, revel in these things, and we do trust that some tonight who have never seen more than badger skin may behold the ram's skin dyed red and trust Christ as their own personal Savior. Bless thy word to this end, we pray, and give us to hear of some confessing Christ as that dear man and others have done when we sought to minister the truth of the tabernacle. Hear us in our prayer. Receive our thanks for thy beloved Son at God's right hand in heaven, and also for the work he accomplished for us on the cross. In his own precious and fearless name, we give thee thanks. Amen.